last week we talked about salt and light. We read from Matthew chapter 5 where Jesus uses salt and light as a metaphor to us, his people. And he talks about, I share with you that how salt keeps decay from happening, and how we as Christian, we have this call by God to prevent decay in our community. And so when we are applied to our community, we have this ability to keep the world from decaying, but actually preserving life. And then the second part of that sermon, I talk about we are light, right? And being light is to share the wisdom of God with those around us. And I read from Isaiah where he explained that, where Isaiah said, hey, you know, God's word's going to go through all the world as light for people's feet, and we ought to participate in that. So we ought to preserve life, and we ought to expand the kingdom of God by sharing the gospel. And I do think that there is a theme in the Bible that is the word blessed, that I think it really highlights a way of living that is salt and light. The word blessed, as we're going to see today, it is highlighted throughout the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. And it is a trait of God's people, and it is the best way for us to live life as salt and light. Blessed. And today, in the sermon today, I'm going to start with the letter B from blessed, which it is to benefit, which the word benefit. So I want you to write it down on your weekly right now. Put a letter B, a little dot or slash or whatever you want to do, a little space, and put the word benefit. Benefit. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you lived life in a way that benefited others? Like you benefit someone else, you did something that benefits someone else, and you got nothing in return. There was no strings attached. There is nothing for you to benefit from, only that person. When was the last time you lived as someone who benefited somebody without getting nothing in return? Can you remember the last time you did that? Just this week, I had, you know, because I'm putting the sermon together, I'm not that good, right? But that's because this week I was, with this in mind, I was finding opportunities to live a life that others benefit without me getting anything in return. I was in a specific location, and I saw this older lady struggling to go from her car to the door of the facility. So I just I came around her and I said, hey, ma'am, I'll help you out. She looked at me like, what are you doing? Right? I was like, I just want to make sure you got your to the door safe. She's like, oh, thank you, young man. And I wish you'd have said pretty young man, but that was not it. Right? Even at home, if it is with my kids or my wife, I found ways of doing things that would benefit them without me getting nothing in return. Have you ever done something to somebody without getting ever in return? How did that felt? How did that felt determine if you understand the word blessed or not? So today I want to read from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 3, which is the main passage for today. And it says this: Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you'll be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Walter Brueggemann, a theologian, helpfully describes this passage that we just read as the second creation account. While in the first creation account, God created the cosmos and all that it contains by the power of his spoken word, in this passage, God is creating a new people out of his spoken word to Abram. There is a huge shift in Genesis. The story, until we come to Genesis, we see God focusing in the world, how he created the world and how he created the animals and the earth and how life was good in the beginning, but then how it decays. In the first few chapters, we see the narrative describing the pattern of creation. What is good, the destruction of sin, judgment, grace being taken for granted. We see the fall, Cain and Abel, the flood, the Tower of Babel. This all paints a vivid picture of what was going on in the first 11 chapters of Genesis. So when it comes to chapter 12, God is now seeking to address the problem of sin and to reconcile humanity to himself through one person, through the person of Abraham. And the promises that he gives Abraham to restore that relationship with God comes through the word blessing. In order to address sin and the decay that the world was facing, God tells Abraham, I'm going to bless you so that you're going to bless others. These promises, which was to come in the form of blessings, had multiple components, including the promises of multiple descendants, fame, divine protection, and that Abraham, through his descendants, would be a blessing to all people. Blessing was very important to God in the beginning of creation. Adam and Eve was created in this environment of blessing. But we see with the decay of man through sin that was no longer part of the center of creation anymore. I love to compare. I need to make a comparable thing here with you. On Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, I need you to see something that is important. In chapter 12, God is blessing Abraham, but on chapter 11, on the Tower of Babel, verse 4, chapter 11, verse 4, we read this. Then they said, the people, they come together to create this great tower, and they said this, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its tops in the heavens, and let us make the name of ourselves, make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the world, of the whole earth. So see, here's what man was seeking in the Tower of Babel. Great name, great city, great legacy. And they were trying to do that without God. They say, come, let us build. We can't do this. We can have a great name. We can have a great city. And we can have a great legacy. This action is all made out of pride. And so many of us, we think we can do that, right? We can make things for ourselves on our own. It's out of pride. We have the power. We have the willpower. We have the means in order to accomplish whatever we want to accomplish. That is true in the Tower of Babel. And you know how that all ended up. It didn't end up so good to them. So action of pride and independence from God is what's going on here. And let me tell you this, there's nothing wrong with having a good name, a good city, and a good legacy. There's nothing wrong with having a good reputation. There's nothing wrong with that, but it must be God who confers it. It must be God who brings it up. We cannot act out of the independence from God and pride in order to say, hey, I can build a life for myself outside of God. And that's what's going on in Genesis chapter 11, verse 4. But then in chapter 12, God addresses that and makes the same promises to Abraham. And he said, I will make your name great. I'm giving you a land, a great land. So you're going to have a great city that today we call Jerusalem. And you're going to have a great legacy. God is going to do that through Abraham, through the word blessing. Blessing is an important word that holds Genesis together and binds it to the Old Testament and to the New Testament. The word blessed is in the beginning of Genesis. Let me highlight for you a couple of verses there for you that talk about blessing. The first one, it is God blessing humanity, creation. Genesis 1, chapter 22. Here's what it says. God blessed them, and it's talking about creation, blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in numbers and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And then on verse 28, God's now making a talk about human beings, Adam and Eve specifically. And this is what he says. And God blessed them And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on earth. Let me tell you, blessed, the word blessed, it is a huge biblical theme. Huge biblical theme. We see it in Genesis chapter 3, humans forgetting the blessings given by God, and then God blesses human when he seeks reconciliation through Abraham and his descendants here in Genesis chapter 1 and 3. So all that I'm trying to do here in this first part is to tell, blessing, it is something for you and I to those around us. Blessing. Pastor Sam, what does it look like? What does it mean to be blessed? I have a definition of the word blessed here. So for now, I'm trying to say blessed. It is a very important theme in the Bible. Let me define the word blessed for you. I have it up there. It's the word baraka. And it means to endure with power for success, prosperity, fecundity, and longevity. That's what it means to be blessed. To endure, to endure with power for success, prosperity. I can't say that word. I think I'm saying that for fecundity and longevity. Let's begin just fast here observing that God created Adam in a blessed condition, right? They had a harmonious relationship with God and consequently with each other. They also had all their physical needs met as they lived in the Garden of Eden. Life in the garden defines what blessing looks like. If you want to know exactly what God meant for being a blessed, to be a blessed person, we need to go back to Genesis chapter 1 and 2, where we see Adam and Eve being created in a state of blessedness. There, they had everything good in the form of spiritual, emotional, psychological, and physical things. They benefited from God in all those areas of their life. But while Adam and Eve were created in a blessed condition, their sin forfeited their blessings and turned it into curse. They no longer had a harmonious relationship with God and with each other and with the world around them. Isn't that what sin does? Isn't that what sin does? Breaks harmony. That which was good, that was meant to build us up, no longer does that. I mean, we could go on and on and on and give you examples of how something good has become bad because of sin. Think about the word love, right? Think about how love is represented and by people. Love was supposed to be good, and now we see the word love being used to something that is disgusting. Relationships were broken in three different ways because of sin and no longer blessing. And I have a graphic for you there that I really want you to understand this. We were created in a blessed. It's a triangle where there's God, us, and others, right? And Matt, can you put that graphic of the triangle there for us? There you go. So this is how, in the beginning, when God created us blessed, the arrows that pointed from God to man, to self, and from self to others, and back to God was a complete arrow. It was an arrow that arrow was never supposed to be broken. But because of sin, we can no longer live in a blessed state outside of God, because sin breaks relationship with God, with others. In the process, in keeping other people from being blessed by God. So when God comes to in Genesis 12 and tell Abraham, I will bless you and make your name great so that you be a blessing, he said, I am going to restore my relationship with you, with man, through this word called blessing, so that you can bless other people, so that those other people can have a relationship with me. Are you with me? Can you understand what I'm saying? The word bless is very important. To live the blessed life, it is important. God is saying, I will bless you, Abraham, and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. There is a purpose there. So I have a statement for you that is up there. To be blessed, then means to have a vibrant relationship with God, which leads to spiritual, relational, material, and emotional wholeness. If you don't understand anything that I have said this far, you really need to take this one home. Because blessed is a theme throughout the whole Bible. It is important for you to understand that to be blessed then means to have a vibrant relationship with God, which leads to spiritual, relational, material, and emotional wholeness. Now you might be thinking, well, those are all great information, Pastor Sam. What does that have to do with me in the 21st century? I'm right here in Delaware, and what does this have to do with me? Let me read a passage for you. Galatians chapter 3, 6. This is what Galatians chapter 3, 6 says. You remember Abraham? Scripture tells us Abraham believed God and trusted in his promises. So God counted to his favor as righteous. Know this. Pay attention. Know this. People who trust in God are the true sons and daughters of Abraham. For it was foretold to us in the scripture that God would set the Gentile nations right by faith when he told Abraham, I will bless all the nations through you. So those who have faith in God, in Jesus, are blessed along with Abraham, our faithful ancestor. Paul is very clear here. People who trust in God are the true sons and daughter of Abraham. Those who have faith in God, in Jesus, are blessed alongside Abraham. Questions for you. Do you trust God? Do you trust God? Do you have faith in God? Remember in the beginning of this passage when I said Abraham through his descendants would be a blessing to all people. Do you remember when I said that? So here's the thing. If the answer of it is yes for those two questions, do you trust God? Do you have faith in God? If the answers of those are yes, then guess what? Father Abraham has many sons and daughters. Many sons and daughters have Father Abraham. I'm one of them, and so are you. So let's go praise the Lord. Right hand. Do you remember that little song? Do you remember that song? How many of you guys grew up with that song? Raise your hand. Right? We all grew up with that song. And maybe you haven't. Let me teach you a little song. There's a little song that we all learned in Sunday school, growing up at church, that taught teaches exactly what I'm telling you, is that we are all, through faith and trust in God, children of Abraham. Descendants of Abraham with the same purpose that Abraham had, which is God blesses us so that we will be a blessing to those around us. And this little song goes like this. Father Abraham has helped me out, because you know I can't sing, right? On three. We just do the first little part, okay? One, two, three. Father Abraham has many sons. Many sons has Father Abraham. I'm one of them, and so are you. So let's go praise the Lord. Right hand, Father Abraham has many sons. Many sons has Father Abraham. I'm one of them, and so are you. So let's go praise the Lord. Right hand, left hand, and it keeps on going, right? We, you and I, are children of Abraham. Faithful people, righteous people, by faith and trust in God. So as sons and daughters of Abraham, we are called to bless the world because God has already blessed us. Here's the thing with us, church, is that sometimes we don't recognize the blessings of God to our lives. We focus so much in the negative and in the curses that this world brings to us that we forget God's blessings. And let me tell you this, you can't bless if you don't recognize your blessings. You can't be a blessing if you don't recognize how God has blessed you in your life. We are so focused on the things we have lost that we forget of the things that God has given us. And maybe some of the things that we have lost, it is just a way for God to, and I'm talking about material things, right? The material things, because so many times we connect a blessed life with material things. So I'm talking about lost or material ways, all right? So many times we lose some material things and we are like, oh, we are no longer blessed. And God's like, maybe I'm taking that away so that you will be focused on the things that I am giving you because you're misplacing your blessings. Blessings always flows from the greater to the lesser, meaning God is the one who blesses, and the ones blessed by God are the means of blessings to those who are yet to experience God's blessing. Blessing flows from God to you so that you would bless other people. I have another graphic for you there. It is the first one, and then the second one says this. There's the relationship that was broken, and God is trying to restore that through blessing. And then now we have this the second part. The blue might be a little bit hard for you to read it, but this is what it says. Blessings are from God, Genesis 12:2. That means that we are dependent on Him for His blessings. You can't get blessings from anybody else but God. The second one, so it flows from God to you, says blessings are to be shared, Genesis 12, chapter 2, the second part. So it is this idea of purpose. So God blesses you and gives you a purpose so that you can share the blessings with others. And the third part is this. It is the blessings are to be multiplied, meaning God's abundance of blessing is to flow from you to other people who would go to somebody else. Blessing flows from God to you to others. The question sometimes is, do you recognize God's blessing in your life? Do you recognize that? Here's the thing I think is the problem. Is that I think sometimes that we think being the blessed one from God is defined by having an easy life. Don't we think that sometimes that being blessed by God means we're going to have an easy life. Life is going to be dandy. We're just going to be skipping through the fields and, with the sunset and that beauty, But Abraham's life, it is a great example of how that's not the case. I want to encourage you, because I don't have to go through the whole thing. I want to encourage you today, as you get home this week, to read Genesis chapter 12 to chapter 26. Write it down. Pastor Sam told me, and he's going to quiz me next week on Genesis chapter 12 to 26. That's not true. But from chapter 12 and 26, we read one of the most difficult life stories in the Bible. Abraham was asked by God, leave a place of comfort. All right. Scared me. My heart's like, what in the world just happened? We see in chapter 12, God comes to Abraham and says, leave your country, leave your mom and daddy's house, and go to a place. And Abraham's looking to God like, where do I go? He's like, don't worry about it. I'm just going to take you somewhere. Let's go on a little journey. Then God makes a promise for him to have kids, and him and his wife is 100 years old, and they can't have kids. Then he have the kid when he's 100, and then goes on. God comes on and says, hey, let's sacrifice the little one. What? Then he had to go to Sodom and bail out his friend, his cousin Lot. And I mean, it's a very difficult life that we read in the life of Abraham. So I have four quickly points for you here. Blessed life is a life of obedience and faith. When you live in obedience and faith, you move from comfortable to discomfortable, from known to unknown, to unknown. That's a blessed life. It is completely trusting that God has the best for you. Another thing about having a blessed life is that you recognize that God doesn't need your help. Abraham tried to help God a couple of times, and it turned out to be a disaster for his life and the life of his family. The third thing is being blessed by God is it is a responsibility, not an entitlement. God could have, there was many powerful nations back in the day, and God could have picked any nation, but he said, I'm going to start from scratch, and I'm going to pick a guy who has a good heart. And from there, he raised to himself a nation with the responsibility to represent him on earth. To be blessed means trusting God and his timing, which is so hard. Being blessed is hard. You have to have faith and obedience. Got to stop thinking you can help God. It is a great responsibility. Got to trust in God's timing. If you don't understand anything that I have said thus far, take this one home with you. The statement is up there. The way of a blessed life cannot be programmed, cannot be guaranteed. Faith and obedience means that we put our trust in God. We do not know what or how he's doing, but only that God is doing. Let me say that again. The way of a blessed life cannot be programmed, cannot be guaranteed. Faith and obedience means that we put our trust in God. We do not know what or how he's doing, but only that he is doing it. I think that sounds a lot like faith. That's right. That's Abraham's life, the life that we ought to live like. We are called to be a blessing, to live a life that others can benefit from it. And I think Abraham gave us a great example of that kind of life when he lived a selfless life so that the world could benefit from his life. Think you got it, right? We are blessed by God to bless others. Let me spend the last few minutes here trying to give you putting a little bit of context on how we live life today. We all have done this. I have my phone with me right here, and we all have gone to the camera aspect of the phone and taken what? Take a little selfie right here, me and you. That's the world we live today, isn't it? It's a world of selfie. Don't tell me you haven't done it, because I know every single one have done it. Young or old, we have all. According to Google statistics, about 90 million selfies were taken per day as far back as 2014. Isn't that impressive? 93 million selfies were taken a day. And this is only on the Android devices, because that's only the ones that they can account for. On a poll found that every third photo taken by those of the age of 18 to 24, it is a selfie. If you got an 18-year-old through a 24-year-old person's phone, if you go through it, the first is okay, the second is okay, the third one is a selfie. Goes on and on and on like that. Listen, selfie is a great indicator of how much the individual is at the center of their world. We are it. No one else matters. Being in this society of selfie means that we are all about ourselves, and we can care less about those around us. While it seems relatively harmless, selfie, there is definitely a part of the selfie phenomenon that speaks to us, that brings to us this idea of narcissism, self-obsession, self-absorption. In the social media age, even if we don't take photos of ourselves, we are guilty of being overly self-promotional at times and unintentionally connecting our self-worth to likes on Facebook, on Instagram, followers on Twitter. We share comments and we are craving to see what people are doing about, you know, with it. They're liking it. Are they sending little hearts? Are they making comments? Our identity become defined by how many friends and followers we have on social media and how they respond to our posts. The problem is not self-portrait. The problem is not social media. That's not the problem. The problem is our sinful nature. The problem is the self-centeredness of our hearts. We often don't think about the ramification of being self-centered, to have the attitude to unintentionally embrace all this idea, how we impact our parenting, how we impact our marriages, how we impact our friendships, our work, our gardening, our hospitality to strangers. Here's the thing, we observe this self-centered attitude and we don't think about the ramification of it all. How does being self-centered have impacted your marriage? How has being self-centered impacted your friendships? How have being self-centered, putting yourself at the center of the universe, have influenced your workplace? For example, think about when you're in the office and with this selfie mindset, we take credits for the thing we are not exclusive responsible for. We step on others to increase our territories. We become name droppers so that we can benefit from other people. We make others look like a fool so we can look great. We throw people under the bus so they can get fired so that we can get in their position. How do we fight the urge to join the world? How do we fight against this attitude to put ourselves at the center of all? I think the best way it is to understand that God has blessed you and that you are here to bless others. And the first word on that is the word benefit. B stands for benefit. We ought to live a life as Christians that other people will benefit from. So many of us, we think because we're Christians, we should take advantage of people because we are in a higher position with God. But reality is that Jesus came from heaven to earth to serve, to live a life that you would benefit, and we ought to live a life that other people would benefit from, not the other way around. Jesus died on the cross so that you would benefit. He gained nothing from it. And here we are, thinking that we ought to benefit from God. Here's the thing. We have developed this concept of a blessed life through faith in which God is pledged to give us whatever we want whenever we ask. That faith means that we are being a consumer of God, the gospel, and what God can offer. That faith means that we are here to test God's customer service expertise by testing Him so that we can calculate and evaluate God's performance in our lives. This kind of faith qualifies us to explain God and call Him to account when He doesn't make sense to us. That was not what God had intended. For the opposite, He has blessed us. He has lived a life that benefits us through Jesus so that we would gain those benefits and benefit those around us. Here, let me run fast from some things here that we ought to have in our minds when we take the self-centeredness out and put people right in the middle of our life. A blessed life, learn how to be truly compassionate towards others. We see others for who they really are. Sympathy means that you understand another person's feelings and emotions. Guys, life is not only about us, it's about other people too. So we need to think about others. So the first one there is learn how to truly be compassionate towards others. The second thing I think it's important for you to understand is that we need to think about others. Take yourself out of the center of the universe and put other people there. Philippians chapter 2, 3 says this: don't let selfishness and prideful agendas take over. Embrace true humility and lift your heads and extend love to others. We ought to extend love to others. When people compliment you, share the credit. When people criticize you, look within, take responsibility, don't blame other people for it. Proverbs 28:13 says this: whoever tries to hide his sin will not succeed, but the one who confesses sins, his sins, and leaves them behind will find mercy. Another thing is don't raise false accusation. Man, it goes with the judgment thing. One of these days I'm going to preach about judgment. I'm judging people. That's the kind of I'm going to preach about judging people. Because in the church we say all the time, we cannot be judged. Don't judge other people. Well, Delaware Christian Church, we are very often say this: we are a church that you won't be judged, right? If the pastor can speak English, why are you going to be looking at people's life to try to find something wrong, right? You know, that's we are imperfect people living perfect lives. So I want to make a sermon on that one of these days. So don't raise false accusation. You don't know what people is going through. You don't know what's going on in their hearts for them to take such action. Proverbs 15:1 says this: a tender answer turns away rage, but a prickly reply spikes anger. Tie self-worth with Jesus, not man. A blessed one, someone who lives a life that benefits others. They tie their self-worth to their own lives, not to man. Someone who live a life that benefits others, promote others rather than promote self. It's someone also that understands that life is bigger than you. Focus on the big picture, not in small little problems. If you want to benefit others, you need to look at the big picture, not at a specific moment. We ought to set our eyes on the goal, not how you might benefit in the process. So many of us, we can care less about the process. We just care about what we can gain from going from point A to point B. Another one is realize people around you will make mistakes like you do. If you want to benefit other people, you need to understand that the people around you will make mistakes, and you are there to love of them, not to take revenge on them. The last one, if you want to live a life that benefits others, realize that those who are different than you are also loved by God, just like you are loved. We are all in need of grace, aren't we? Those who live a blessed life and are ready to be bless others, understand God loves us all. John chapter 3:30 is important. He must increase and I must decrease. So this week, my challenge is for you to live a life that benefits others. Take yourself out of the center of your life and put God there.